I hate it when that happens. Like I said, self-inflicted pain. It sounded like I was echoing in here. Okay, we're going to start all over here now. No. I could start a little bit over. But what David did was that then he sent a letter back with his friend that they was going to put him at the front line, and he was killed. So he murdered his friend, shall we say. He had something to do with it. Now that doesn't sound like a man that's after God's own heart, is it? Doesn't sound like that. Then what happened was that the baby died, and as he tried to cover everything up, and what happened then is God exposed him publicly. A prophet, a man of God, came and exposed him to everybody. So what he had tried to do in private, God exposed him publicly. And then, like I said, the baby died. So I'm sure, I don't know about you, but if I would have made some mistakes, like I know the mistakes I make in life, and I know what those mistakes are like and how they affect me. Because the last thing I want to do is hurt God or hurt the work of God. But David, what he did, and this is something that you and I can learn from, is that he fell on the mercy of God to get that joy back. He cried out to God. See, sometimes, now I believe this and with all my heart, that sometimes you and I can get so messed up that we're unable to tap in God's grace. It's there, but we just can't tap into it. We're messed up. We're not thinking right. Just so that's the time in our life that we need to cry out for God's mercy. And let that mercy come. Mercy come a running to me, you know, that, like that song says. And so even in the midst of all that mess, David knew that his joy could be restored. So maybe your joy is kind of off now. Maybe you're not where you need to be. And I know a lot of you, and I know you've never made these kind of mistakes. You know what I'm saying? So there's hope. There's hope. There's hope that our joy can be restored because we need it so much to be able to live the overcoming life. Now, something that just kind of opened my eyes a little bit when I was doing this study, because sometimes, I don't know if you're like me, but I kind of misquote this scripture. Now, I don't know if you've ever done that before, but I have. I always say the joy of my salvation. And I know it's mine because I own it. It's personal. It's part of my life. But I always say the joy of my salvation. God's going to restore the joy of my salvation. But as I looked at the scripture, he says, David says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. God's salvation. Because we can't save ourselves. That's why we need God in our life. That's why we need to let go, let that come to us, you know, because salvation comes from God. Now, just throwing out a few words here, just a little clarification. We know that, you know, in the Hebrew, the word Joshua, they pronounce it Yeshua or something like that, and that's the name Jesus in the Greek, and they all mean salvation. Everything that you and I have, everything that you and I need is found in salvation through Jesus Christ. That's where we can tap into the joy. That's where we can tap into everything that we need. To me, God is the author and the finisher of our salvation. You know, we just need to hop in between. Just jump right in the middle of that. You know, God started it. God's going to finish it. All we got to do is be along for the ride. And it's the ride of our life. And it's the most gratifying and greatest thing that I have done in my life is when I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. And I hope you've done that. If you haven't, we'll give you an opportunity. Then it talks about a willing spirit. And I want to touch on this a little bit because I'm talking to Christian folk here for the most part. You know, we, meaning you and I, need to be willing to be a part of what God's doing in life, okay? That's what we need. So instead of, you know, pulling back, you know, you and I need to press on ahead. And my attitude is, you know, I've went too far to turn back now. You know, I know too much about Jesus Christ. I knew too much. I've experienced, like it says in Hebrews chapter 6, I've experienced some of that heavenly stuff it talks about. I've experienced the anointing of God. I know the truth and the reality of Jesus Christ. So the last thing I would want to do is stop till, right before my journey's ended and pull back. And I've watched this. I've been, you know, a Christian for 30-some years and, you know, pastoring for 20-some. And, you know, just the things I've observed, you know, watching believers, those who are winning and those who seems like they've lost. But what we need to see is the fact that we need to continue in serving God, because one of the reasons that we lose that joy that we had in the beginning is because we stop serving God. We stop and pressing on in. Yeah, I know maybe we get frustrated because maybe some other people ain't doing their stuff. But who are we looking to? Who are we serving? We serve the Most High God. Amen. And it's all about our personal relationship with Him. And to me, I want to stay as connected as I can. I want to get that joy operating in my life, because I've had some good days and I've had some bad days, people. I've went through some of those bad days, those hard days where you just don't know. And you just don't know if you can maybe go on or maybe take another step. And I know how those work, but I do know how to get out of them, because I've been in them. I know how to get out of them. And one way to doing that is make sure that I'm connected to God and doing everything I can to be a part of what God's doing. And before we know it, you know, when I stop being unwilling and I start to be willing, then I start to see that turnaround. So that's a key. Maybe that's going to help you today. See, there's a joy in serving the Lord, and we stop serving the Lord, our joy dries up. Oh, I'm not talking about losing our salvation. I'm just talking about enjoying some of the life that we have down here. I don't know about you, but joy is an emotion. I mean, it's different than happiness, because happiness is always, as we learned before, is all emotion based. But joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a part of what God's doing, but it does over and transcend in over to our emotional realm, and then we can enjoy that. I mean, just like when we do worship here, I mean, there's some people get really excited, don't they? You know, and they're excited about worship. They get into it. And maybe, you know, I know I'm a little more laid back. I'm more of a swayer. I mean, when I'm into groove, this is me, you know. I'm there. If you see me doing this, I'm there, you know. And that's just how I roll. But, you know, there's some people that really get excited about Jesus. And, you know, and they just love to, you know, hallelujah and stuff like that. And praise God for that. And I do that every now and then. But we need, those are just little, I don't want to say tricks, but those are little things that you and I can do to tap back into that joy, to get where we need to be. So it's a weapon in our arsenal, praise and worship is, so that we can go out and we can be able to win and be able to beat back the devil. Also staying connected to a church body, you know, staying connected. There's a joy that comes from community, being around people with like precious faith. Those who are on the same wavelength and kind of believe the same way, similarly, and we can talk about the same things and get into the things of God. You know how important that is. And what I found out by being a part of a church community, and, you know, as we serve each other, and, you know, because when we serve other people, here's what I see, is we build spiritual self-esteem. You know, self-esteem is important in life, isn't it? It's how you see yourself. And to be honest, how we see ourselves is a reflection of how the world sees us, because we give off that vibe. You know what I'm saying? And so as we stay connected to community and we serve other people, it builds us up spiritually, because we feel connected and we're in that. And then that joy just starts to bubble out in our life. You know, and like I said earlier about worship, you know, we need to be willing to worship God. You know, what I find out with Jesus is, you know, we just focus on Jesus and not the people around you. You know, if we hold back, we will not experience the fullness of His presence. Like I said, I'm more laid back in our worship, but I, you know, I do try to get myself out there a little bit, because I'm there anyway. You know what I'm saying? We're going to sing some songs, people. That's just the way it is. And you might as well get all the good out of it you can. It's just not something we do. Because when I first got saved, I was more into the preaching. The worship, yeah, let's just get through it. Let's just get on over here. You know what I'm saying? This is where I want to get. I want to get to the teaching and the preaching. And, you know, because I just took a lot of notes and wrote a lot of things down. you know, in the worship, you know, but I was missing out until I understood what it was about. And then I got to just forget about everybody else around you. If you want to raise your hands, raise your hands. If you don't, don't. But I'll be honest, raising your hands will make you, it feels better. It feels better. You know, I'm just telling you because it brings a level of freedom into your walk and into your life with Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. And so this is a good place to practice. You know, hypothetically, nobody should be looking at you. And if they are, who cares? Amen. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if they got a bad attitude towards you, they're probably going to make it to heaven anyway. No, I'm just kidding. God's a God of love and grace and mercy, yeah. But you know, just let yourself go during worship. Just experience everything you have because you can tap into that and make it a part of your life. Next scripture I want to look at, I'm going to pick up the pace here a little bit. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So there we see joy in all these different things. And the importance, what I want to say here is the idea of keeping your tank full. How many times have you not paid attention to your gas tank? I mean, I have a couple times. Jeff does that every now and then. You know, I was just down, you know, driving through La Villa Friday night, and I talking to somebody, and I looked down while I was talking. That baby was past, you know, it was down on E. You know, and I just ran over to Casey's and got a little bit of gas. But, you know, running out of gas and having an empty tank is kind of a bummer. You can't, you know, especially, you know, if you're going out in a, like I was heading out to the country, and that's a terrible feeling when you're going out somewhere and there's no gas stations around, nowhere to get filled up. So that's why we need to get filled up, make sure we're full, keep our tank full. See, I believe the reason why many Christians are not experiencing joy is because they're running on spiritual fumes. You know, we need to make sure we get our tank full and make sure that we get that in there. Last week we talked about the joy of the Lord is our strength, you know, getting in there. See, what I feel is there's a place in the Spirit that we can experience joy that overcomes the world. It doesn't really matter what the devil is throwing at us. It doesn't matter what's going on around the world. I'll be honest, and I don't want to make a big thing out of this, but this COVID thing has not bothered me one bit. Yes, it grieves me that some people have lost their lives. That, you know, that's not good. I know that. But far as me and my house, we believe faith over fear. I walk in joy. This thing hasn't bothered me a bit. It's just another attack from the devil that's going around, and I can either look to God to get me through, or I can just give up and go hide in the basement somewhere. You know, we need to be to the place, I don't, you know, if they make me wear a mask, I wear one. I'm not a rebel. I mean, when I go to a place and they make me throw one on, I'll throw it on. I have no problem with that. I'm a team player to a degree, And, you know, be a part of stuff. But, you know, I just feel, you know, that we need to get to the place where we can overcome the world and these things, you know, just kind of happen. Now, you know, I'm not an at-risk person, shall we say. I mean, viruses don't bother me. They never have. You know, I've got other issues I deal with in life. I'm short and I'm, you know, all that. But you know, viruses never had a power over me. You know, maybe that's part of why I feel the way I do. But I believe there's a place in the Spirit that you and I can get to where we're not affected by all these things. See, the Bible says here that we'll abound in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, we need to get to the place where we're abounding and just not getting by. That's going to take us putting a little effort into our walk with God and trying to get to the place where we can start to walk in joy and peace, because these are the two weapons that you and I need to learn how to use. They're very practical weapons in our arsenal that God's given us, and how we start to establish those things and we start to walk in a greater level of glory that God has. Next, I want to look at the idea of how to keep our tank full, because this here will deplete your tank. And we don't want to do this. It's found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians 4, verse 30. It says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom we're sealed for the day of redemption." So, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve God. How do we do that? Now, I'm not talking about eternal security here, where we were born again and saying that we can lose our salvation if we grieve the Holy Spirit. That's not what this is talking about. You know, there's other passages in Hebrew and different places where we could have that discussion. But this here is talking about the idea of a relationship with Him. You know, just like if you grieve one of your closest friends or your spouse, I don't know about you, but sometimes they kind of pull back from you. Why? You've hurt them. Okay? And so what happens then, there's no joy in the marriage, right? If that happens, right? It's kind of a tough time. Well, it's kind of similar with the Holy Spirit, because we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. So there's things that we can do, you know, in our life that we have to be careful of, that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And if we do, if we can get beyond those things, and if we have grieved Him, just repent. He'll be fine. He's a big boy. He can handle. He's God the Spirit, you know, third person of the Trinity. He's been grieved before, and He'll be grieved again. So don't think you can damage Him. You can't. But it's to your benefit and my benefit if we repent, let the blood of Jesus, and then try to get that joy start to come back in our life. Because spiritual sensitivity is a must if we're going to live an overcoming life. We need to be sensitive to God. Not overly sensitive in life, but sensitive to God. Because remember, joy, as we looked at last week, is a fruit of the Spirit. And if we grieve the Holy Spirit, it's going to affect that fruit that's being produced. Another thing is the idea of walking in forgiveness. Remember, I'm talking about some things that we need to be careful of. You know, if we have unforgiveness in our life, it's going to hinder our joy walk. You know, so if we walk in forgiveness, that brings joy. Why walk in forgiveness? Because that's when we are also taking on the character of God. Maybe we have a right to be mad. Maybe we have a right to be unforgiving about a situation that's happened in our life. But we choose to forgive anyway. And when we do that, then we start to experience that joy that comes in our place in our life, because, you know, it only comes by first knowing that you and I have been forgiven. We have to remember that. And then also, with that forgiving, I want us to understand this. God has put inside of you, and He's put inside of me, the capacity to forgive others. You may say, I can't forgive that person. No, maybe you can't. But God has put inside of you the capacity. It's not you. It's God. And if we choose to yield and come in to that presence and allow God to take control, then we can get beyond that pain. Because unforgiveness doesn't really hurt the other person, it hurts us. I mean, we've all been there, we all know that. But when we're hurt, we don't think that way, do we? Why? Because our emotions are involved. That's why we need other godly Christians to maybe help us and encourage us and tell us, hey, snap out of it, you're going to be all right. You know, and I really believe that. Now, last scripture I want to look at today is found in 1 Peter chapter 6, verse 7. This is one that ties in with what I started the series with. It's kind of a companion scripture or sister scripture. And it talks about faith and the reason why we go through the trials. Because I want us to see that, because, you know, I don't believe we just go through the trial just to prove how good, how tough we are. No, we go through the trial and we learn and we grow through the trial. That's what we've got to see. We need to grow through it. And just like with anything, you know, we need to grow. Okay, 1 Peter 1, verse 6 to 7, it says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, this ties in with James chapter 1, talks about growing through the trial. We go through the trial. We want to see our faith get better, and because it says it's more precious than gold. Now, if you ask most Christians, they probably say, give me the money. I'd rather have the money than the gold, or than the faith. You know, but we need to see how important faith is, because faith is the only way that you and I can make a spiritual transaction in the kingdom of God. So faith is one of the most key components that you and I can start to operate in and be able to walk in. Because without faith, we can't please God. Without faith, we cannot make that spiritual transaction and to be able to see change happen in our life. So it's important that we see the necessity to be able to operate in a greater level of faith. See, a lot of people, you know, they get mixed up and they just go after fool's gold. You know, fool's gold looks like gold, but it's not. You know, they go after the things, the flashy stuff. But we need to get beyond that. Now, what I see here is that trials test us by fire. Now, what I found in my life, maybe you're different than me, but when the heat's turned up, the ugly can come out. Have you ever had that? That ugly, you know? The person inside of you didn't think you were anymore. Have you ever had, am I the only one? Come on, maybe I know a couple people said they are. We all have, right? When the heat's turned up, we can get ugly. You know, it's that old carnal fleshly nature. And it's in there. And see, like in when they used to work with metals, the silversmith, he would just put the silver in there, and the silver looks pretty good. Well, it's not bad. So he can maybe make some jewelry with it. But I'll tell you what, when he puts the heat to it, you know what happens? The ugly comes to the top, the dross. And the silversmith, if he wants something that's really good, because what that dross does, it makes a weakness or an imperfection in the ornament that he's making. So he wipes the dross off, just gets it totally out of the picture. And see, that's what you and I need to do. We're going to go through hard times. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to get mad. There's going to be some ugly come out. Know that that's not you anymore. That's the old you. You need to wipe it away. See yourself as the new you, who you are in Christ, and just let God have his perfect work in our life. Because when that dross comes up, we just need to get rid of it. What I like to say is faith comes by hearing. We like that part. But I also believe that faith is also refined by fire. You know, I've watched a lot of people through the years, and some of them just have, you know, textbook faith. You know what I mean? You know some people that are book smart, but they have no street savvy? You know, there's a lot of Christians that maybe can quote it, but they can't live it. We need to live it. We need to make sure that we're walking in it, because when we're tested, that's how we know for sure if we really know it. So faith comes by hearing, but faith is also refined by fire. And only when our faith is stretched does it become strong. So we're going to be put into some situations, church family. You're going to go through some situations. You know, I wish it didn't have to be that way, but it has to be that way. We all are going to go through some things, and it's our response to them. You need to go into it with your eyes wide open. I am going to be attacked. I am going to maybe make a mistake along the way, but I'm not going to stop. I will never give up. I will never pull back. I'm going to press on through. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get to the place where God wants me. 1 Peter 4, 13 and 14 says, but to the degree that you are share the suffering of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exaltation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. See, with our eyes wide open, we know that when we're under the worst attack, we know that's when God shows up. That's when God's going to come in to be a part of our life, to be able to bring us through. Remember, suffering is only temporary compared to the eternal glory that Jesus Christ has for his children and his people. That's what God wants for us. The Bible says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice no matter what. It doesn't mean we just kind of are talking about putting our head in the sand and not acknowledging there's an issue. Yes, I know there's an issue, but those issues do not have power over me. They do not have power over you, because we can rejoice. But how to do it? We need to rejoice in the good times. We need to rejoice in the hard times. And the key to that, doing that, is to take our eyes off ourselves and to put them on Jesus. Remember, he is the one, our salvation. That's what his name means. And everything revolves around that relationship with him. So it's not about just being happy, but it's about being joyful. Joyful is a spiritual fruit that we need to start growing. That's why it's hard, but we need to consider it all joy when we encounter various trials. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, we thank you so much for the penetrating power of your presence working in each of our hearts right now. Lord, we know it all starts with a simple thing where we start to just surrender, to give our lives to Christ. I want to give an opportunity today. Maybe you've never asked Jesus into your heart, or maybe you have and you need to what we call reconsecrate or rededicate your life. If you feel the Holy Spirit touching your heart, knowing you need to make your peace with God, I want to give that opportunity so that joy can start flowing in. Just slip up your hand if you feel you need to do that. Yes, amen. 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 Anybody else? Amen. Amen. Do you want to come up, Jane? Amen. Well, let's turn that off now. All right, thanks. Come back.